Rated M for mature.
We want more. We want more. Like, we really like it. We want more.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Wine, Weed, and Weave. I am your host, Ayana, aka the Marijuana Ayana. Welcome back to another episode. This is a real special episode. As you guys may know, this show is all about highlighting women of color in cannabis. However, over the years, I have male friends in the industry, right? I know a ton of really successful, really respectful black men who work in cannabis, and over the years I've gotten interest from the men to be on the show. So once every season since last season, I've included some male guests. Today is our second male guest episode. Oh my gosh, it's so cool, right? So today's guest, you may know him from a few viral TikTok or Instagram reels, including his cannabis growing tips tutorials and cannabis news education reels. He's a musician, a model, a cannabis home grow expert, and a cannabis educator. He just has so many talents. He's a jack of all trades. Like, he knows how to grow his own cannabis, and he can teach you how to grow cannabis as well. As the founder and creator of Homegrown One-on-One, classes include virtual and in-person consultations and courses. His goal is to show as many people as he can how easy it is to grow your own with the right information and materials. Listen to his journey from bud tender to educator and now advocate as well. We also get into some plant talk, of course, because I love plants, he loves plants. Of course, we're going to talk about plants. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode as much as I did with special guest K, aka Jungle K.
You're welcome to smoke. I highly encourage it. I'm about Beautiful. To blunt myself. And yeah, we'll just get into it. Welcome to the show again. It's so dope having another male guest. Like I just told you, you're only the second male. Like, you have to feel real special. Do you feel really special?
Yeah, no, I am. I'm definitely honored. Thank you so much for having me once again. I'm excited to be here.
Thanks. Well, the first question I ask every guest, and I think it's the most fun question ever, is, do you remember the first time you smoked weed? Do you remember what you smoked? Do you remember how it made you feel? Do you remember what you smoked out of? You know, everyone wants to know the first time Jungle K smoked weed. We all want to know.
Okay, I got you. I absolutely remember the first time
that I smoked. Okay, good.
What I smoked, I couldn't tell you, okay?
Okay, most of us don't know, so it's okay.
Yeah. So here's how it went, right? Well, I think everybody has two times that they first smoke. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You have the first time that you smoke and you don't get high. And then you have the second time that you smoke and you actually
and get high. Yes.
Right? So the first time that I smoked and I didn't get high, it was like, you know, a couple of my friends in our dorm, they was hotboxing the bathroom in the dorm building, like literally just with steam, like some dumb kids. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? And I hit the roach like a couple of times and obviously didn't feel anything. But the time that I actually got high, so we're in Grant Park, right? And if y'all don't know Chicago, it's like a very big, natural park that's it mixed into downtown that also has like statues and stuff. It's a good spot to smoke, essentially. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It was at night. It was in the rain. We had a couple of our friends out there. They had this like probably 3 or 4 foot bong. For my very first time smoking, right? I don't even know how to smoke.
That's pretty intense.
Yeah. So I hit it a couple of times and, you know, I was waiting for it to kick in. And I was like, you know, when is it going to kick in? And then I eventually, like, I looked around and all the trees just, like, I don't know. it felt like they were realizing that I was high with me. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no.
And, I mean, it was... So don't get me wrong. This first part was like euphoric. It was so beautiful, right? So I'm like turning my head and I'm like, wow, this is so cinematic. Like, I'm mm-hmm, feeling great. Mm-hmm. And I start walking, you know what I'm saying? And I'm walking, I'm feeling good. I'm like, yo, I can't feel my arms at all. This is incredible.
Oh, goodness.
And yo, you know what I'm saying?
I miss that feeling, you know, when you first smoke, like everything just feels great.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. And so we were walking back and we go to the dorm building and I see a 7-Eleven and I'm like, it's over with. I have to go on this 7-Eleven. There's not even a question of what's going
7-Eleven on. 7-Eleven is like the light of heaven when you're hungry and stoned.
Oh, absolutely.
Like you see the sign and you're like, that is where I need to be.
Absolutely. So keep in mind, it's raining, you know what I'm saying? My friends, they've smoked before. They don't give a fuck. They're trying to get back inside.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go back inside. They leave me. And I'm like, I'm going to 7-Eleven. And I'm going to get me some snacks. And Lord knows how long it took me to get the snacks. I don't think it was too long. I think it took a lot longer.
It took you a while, snacks, probably.
But probably got in there. Right. You know what I'm saying? So I got in there. I think I got me a slushie. I got me a Rice Krispie treat. And to this day, Rice Krispie treats are one of the best, like, snacks for me to eat high. Is just like, I don't know, something about the texture.
I agree.
Incredible.
That sounds like a great first time getting high story. Lots of people will be like, I passed out. you know, I got really sick. I didn't like it. But when you get to kind of, I think what also, if you're, it's about the setting. Like, if you're in nature, if you're with friends, you know, you have a better experience than if you're like at a party and
just trying it. Yeah, no, I knew I had to be with friends and good people. Like my partner, that's still my partner now, actually taught me how to rip the bong and everything. And
I love that.
Yeah, we went back up into the room, like the room where we could smoke, because we couldn't smoke like in our dorm room, but somebody else's dorm room we could smoke in. So it was back there and somebody else brought another bong. And I was just like, yo, like I feel like I'm falling into a pool of TV static. And I haven't found a better description of feeling high yet.
That is a great description. That is great. I love that. So you mentioned, of course, that you're in Chicago. Are you from Chicago originally?
I'm from Rochester, New York. I was born and raised there, but my mom is from Chicago. So I spent like my summers out here with my grandma growing up. And then I moved out here to go to school and I've been here since.
Nice. So what kind of like career path or direction were you on before kind of landing in the Chicago cannabis industry, and how did you end up pivoting?
Ooh, that's a good one. I mean, it depends where is the starting point, you know what I'm saying? Because like I came here and I went to school studying music, and that was, you know, obviously my full time while I was in the school until I got out of school, and I was like, okay, I need a gig because music wasn't paying me enough to like, you know, really do anything. And from I forgot what I was doing for a while, but I ended up, I was just doing, you know, like odd jobs and whatever. And I started teaching 2-year-olds for a year before I was in the cannabis industry. A lot of fun. I was just like a general teaching artist doing like, you know, music and movement stuff and helping class plan and, you know, all that good stuff. And also like, you know, the actual like taking care of stuff, which was crazy, but it was fun. It was a really fun experience.
Kids are so fun to work with, honestly.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love it. I still do more stuff with kids if possible in the future. I'm just going to figure it out. But I say that working with 2-year-olds absolutely prepared me for the cannabis industry in the best possible way.
You got to have patience.
You have to build up that patience tolerance, you know. I mean, there's a couple different levels that you can look at it across. Like, you can look at it from the getting in point, you know what I mean? It's not necessarily accessible. You got to know somebody that knows somebody to, like, you know, maybe even get into the dispensary if, you know, it's not necessarily near your neighborhood or you haven't even heard about it or don't even know what the legislature is in your state. You know what I mean? Like, you got to look at it from that perspective. And then there, like, you know, there's going to be daily stressors of the job, whether that's the workload. Let's say you get a delivery of, like, you know, 4,000 eighths and you got to hand count every eighth in the basement and that's all you're doing that day, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, you're dealing with a patient who just isn't really having what y'all have on the menu that day, you know what I'm saying? How are you going to handle your frustration through that? And, you know, the best way is to just not let it get there in the first place. You know, I feel like it's pretty, I mean, at least for me, it's easy to have like a very positive attitude just going about things. And it's like, you know, I try and help people out. Like, even people that are pissed off, it's like, if somebody's yelling, you're not going to stop them by yelling at them. You know what I mean? And you know, the little things like that are things that a lot of people that, you know, even higher up than me in the industry didn't necessarily understand. which really speaks to my point of, you know, why I got into the industry and why I have found the lane in which I found, I guess, is to really help people understand cannabis and get the best positive experience out of cannabis as possible. Yeah, and you know, I was a bud tender at the dispensary that I worked at for about a year, and that comes with, you know, one-on-one consultations, and that was what I loved the most, like really just getting to speak with the patients and being direct and figuring out what people needed and what people liked, what people didn't like, and you really build relationships with these people. And it's much more than a retail job.
It's not like a bartender, it's not like you're working at Target, like you see these people every day, you're helping their ailments, you're checking
Seriously, like I treated it, and I told, like, I felt like all my coworkers around me treated it like we were medical professionals, you know what I'm saying? We're basically helping people get their medicine every day. I don't really know what else to describe that, you know what I mean? But it's not necessarily sales. And even when, you know, you start to get into the terminology of sales, it weirds me out, because I just think, like, at the baseline, everybody should be able to have access to what they need. And that starts with being able to know what they need, you know what I mean?
Having the information so they can have a better experience with it, for sure.
Yes. And that is the gap that I see that currently exists. And I mean, it's still going to exist for a long time in the cannabis industry, just throughout. You know what I mean? I saw it in my dispensary. I saw it, you know, I see it in the Chicago market. And I'm sure it exists in, you know, any market. But to that degree, there is a lot of ground way to be made.
It, like, you're part of making things move in the industry, especially in Chicago. I kind of wanted to touch base because you mentioned, of course, you're a bartender. I've been a bartender and I loved it, but it is really hard work. You're underpaid. Usually your bosses suck. You had an incident, for those who aren't familiar, you had an incident at the dispensary.
Oh yeah.
And it really caused a shakeup, kind of a conversation in the community. Can you tell us a little bit more about that for those that might not be familiar?
Yeah. So the short version is that I was fired from my dispensary with pretty much some racial bias behind it. And the long format of that is that it was a series of issues that I was, you know, bringing to management's attention that eventually led to, you know, them ultimately not being able to handle the amount of truth that was being brought to them. And I say that because, you know, myself and a couple of other coworkers were bringing things up, like, you know, being safe during COVID, you know what I'm saying? Like, we were literally the first bud tenders in Chicago that was facing a bunch of people as, you know, COVID was happening at the start of 2020. That's just the timeline we were talking about, like, you know, from March to May, that was the time that we were really picking up. In the summer, we were seeing like 1300 people a day.
I was in a dispensary the same month COVID hit. So I feel you, it was crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So to that degree, you know, we had to make sure that everybody was safe on top of making sure that the regular work relations were okay. Like, if, you know, there are people that have been here longer than me, why am I in my 6 months here noticing that we have a pattern of having a Black femme presenting person sitting outside the dispensary, you know what I'm saying, at the check-in, security, whatever booth, working for however many months before they're let into the dispensary, and then on a limited schedule at that. You know what I'm saying? Why?
Yeah, you called attention to it.
Exactly, things like that. And, you know, in Chicago, there was a lot going on downtown, just in regards to the public, you know what I mean? The public and the police were not on good terms.
That's when, like, George Floyd was happening and a bunch of riots and stuff. I was in Seattle at the time, so it was equally as crazy. And it's also crazy, I got fired because I was like, yo, we don't have benefits. There's COVID out here. Like, you're talking too much. Be gone.
No. That was basically one of the reasons that I, you know, they started to chop me. They cut my other homie specifically because of that. But mine got a little bit more drawn out just because, you know, I was talking about other things, but ultimately we got bought out by an MSO. MSO stands for multi-state operator. That means that they are a cannabis company that has the liquidity to operate in multiple cannabis markets compliantly. Without, you know, saying too much, they got a lot of bread.
Yes. Think that, about, like, they're the Starbucks of weed, y'all, okay?
Absolutely, absolutely. Like, they're already here. It's already happening. All you can do is educate yourself about it and, you know, make your own conscious choices. And I'll talk more about how you can, you know, make active decisions in a bit. But in those contracts that they were buying us out with, there was clauses in there saying, like, with some wild shit, essentially. They wanted, I think, like, a two-year non-compete. They wanted written consent if you got a second job. And the thing that was the biggest red flag for me was they wanted control over intellectual property, whether you was on the clock, off the clock, before the job, after you leave the job, whatever. If you had an idea that they liked, they could take it if they wanted.
Yo, the way my brain just said, oh, hell no. It just...
Oh, yeah, no.
Seriously. If I saw that on a piece of paper, I'm not signing.
Exactly. You know what I mean? And it was like, I've been in the music industry for a little bit, so it's not
so you already knew.
It's not my first time looking at a contract. It's not my first time looking at intellectual property. So I was like, I'm at work. Why the hell are y'all talking about intellectual property? First of all, I'm a musician outside of me being a person that's
trying to... And you were a content creator at the same time as well.
That and I didn't have, you know, the following that I had now, you know, at the time. But I was still thinking, like, yo, like, y'all are not about to come in on anything that I'm about to have. And I brought it to, you know, management straight up, and they were like, oh yeah, we're gonna see about getting the contract changed, yada da da da. I think they came back 3 days later, like, yeah, we're not gonna get the contract changed, so you can change it, or we're gonna take that as you don't need your job anymore. And I was like, okay, you know what I mean? So keep in mind, I love the cannabis industry. I love the people, I love the coworkers, I love working. Like, I was all up in my job. Like, I was thorough. You feel me? I wasn't necessarily trying to lose it. So yeah, I was doing whatever I could to keep it. And, you know, I came in one day as they were pressuring me to sign, literally the same day they were pressuring me to sign this.
I was on the stories. I was on top of this whole thing. Like, I was like, what happened?
Yeah, yeah. And then they fired me for a mistake that I made on New Year's Eve, another busy ass day of the year, for a protocol mistake, essentially. Basically, we had two different systems of checking people out. One in which you place the items in the bag because they're already have been scanned in the basement, and another one in which you scan the items in front of the person and then put them in the bag.
And for those who don't know, retail dispensaries are so fucking serious about protocols. It's not a joke. Like, you get fired, you get banned, and even if you didn't make the mistake, there's cameras everywhere. Like, they're so serious about it. It's ridiculous.
And importantly, they're serious about them, and in my experience, they changed very often, which made it hard for people to keep up with
on them. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So you really got to be on your toes in case something like that did happen. And I mean, you know, I was. And, you know, they called what I did theft. They said they had a zero tolerance policy for theft. My rebuttal to that was, I mean, I'm going to admit to doing this. I had no intention of doing this. I don't know this person. I have no personal gain from this.
They're like,
this
was a mistake.
Yeah, it was an honest mistake. And they're like, we're going to label it as theft. And I'm like, it seems like you're trying to blackball me from the industry.
Because that happens. Yeah, if you're caught selling to a minor, potentially stealing, even if it's on accident, you're banned.
And I mean, literally, they didn't have to do a whole lot more other than that. Because if on paperwork I got fired from the dispensary for stealing, it's a wrap.
Yeah. Yeah. It's you can't work at dispensaries anymore.
Exactly. You know what I mean? And the fact that it's only on there because of, you know, semantics, essentially, when you talk about politics behind it, it really speaks to the degree of what they were trying to do at the time. You feel me? So I went outside. I made a little 3-second video. I ain't tagged them. I ain't do nothing.
I saw it.
And, you know,
you were like, yo, you know what just happened to me? That was crazy. And I was like, this sounds all too familiar.
Yeah. And I was, you know, I was stressed. I had no idea what the hell I was going to do. You know, I even applied to another dispensary. I still have the cover letter on my laptop, as a matter of fact.
You listen, you always need it, because I always tell people, like, I loved bartending. It wouldn't be something I would do forever. But when you need a job and you have that skill under your belt, it's there. So having the potential of being banned from the ability to do that is very scary. It puts you in a very scary position. Because even I had a boss that was very racist, and he fired me, and I definitely thought it was racial bias, and I was afraid that he was gonna, like, you know, ban me. And what ended up happening is, because the Washington cannabis industry was so small, nobody was hiring me. They just kind of labeled me as just, like, this problematic Black girl, you know?
Yep.
And you just are kind of faced with that, and it's so fucked up. It's so messed up. We could have a whole episode about this, but we gotta move on.
No.
Watching it happen to you, it really happened at the same time as it happened to me. It was wild. So I was like, this is happening in every state. Like, every state is, even if you're legal, is still going kind of through this bias in the industry, and it's crazy. And you did kind of start a conversation about, like, what does social equity and diversity really look like in Chicago? Like, on the outside, it might look one way, but on the inside, in your experience, it looks like you are having a different experience happen, right? Since then to now, do you feel like it's changed since you first started? Do you feel like social equity and diversity is really being welcome and encouraged in the industry, or it's still kind of,
I will say this. Yes, it's changed, and it's only changed out of, you know, necessity and the noise that has been made.
People were loud. I feel like
people still are loud. There was a protest a couple days ago. There was a protest a couple days ago about releasing the craft grow licenses and the dispensary licenses that are still being held up. Like, the only people that have operational THC dispensaries licensed by the state are the same people that have had the licenses since 2020. And that's it. You know what I'm saying? So when you're talking about actual ownership in the industry, you can't even, you know, really get a figure on that if you're thinking about the same people. Are you accepting a partner? Because the partner sure is not an equal, you know, and actually equal, you know, being the 1% of the now, you know, maybe 20, 30, whatever amount of people it is that own all these dispensaries.
Are more licenses now being given to social equity applicants? Is that now happening in Chicago?
No.
Okay.
Not. It's really, to my knowledge, it's been at the same standstill that it has been for the past 2 going on 3 years now.
Yeah, that's what I heard last time. I was just wondering if it changed.
It's absolutely crazy. Every time they have a meeting about trying to release the licenses, it gets further delayed. And, you know, who has the rent money to keep these potential dispensaries open all that long? Because you got to have a space, you got to have, you know, the capital to, you know, for whatever happens to that place, whether or not y'all actually get the license or not. So it's really inaccessible when you think about, you know, getting in on the legal level at that rate. But one of the beautiful things about the cannabis industry is that I feel like everybody has transferable skills, like, absolutely anywhere. And from that, you can really create your own lane and do whatever you want to do, you know? Yeah. And that's what I've been focusing on since I left, you know, just have been educating people about cannabis and houseplants through my social media as much as possible, doing, you know, the Homegrow 101 classes now. On top of, you know, doing a little bit of reporting here and then when I feel like it, because, you know, being an on-camera personality has been my niche that I've, like, stepped into, you know what I mean? Like, yes, we have, you know, accounts on Instagram or brand names or whatever, but if you don't have a person that's actually speaking the directly to the viewer, it's just a completely different dynamic, you know what I mean? So me being able to apply that across all the different avenues that I've found, you know, a passion in has been really empowering for me, to be honest.
Yeah, you've been doing amazing since, you know, all of that happened. I don't know how I found your page, but I really became a fan of your page for your growing tip videos. And you were speaking in a language that I understood, right? And you also have like a very calmness about you. So I'm like, oh, I love this. It was very like easy to follow. And you teach these homegirl classes for all levels. What do you hope people take away from your courses? As you said, everyone can kind of create their own lane, right? Like, you don't have to be in the retail space. You created your own space.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I really want to help everybody find their lane in the cannabis industry because, you know, I used to put a number on it, but there's just like an unlimited amount of money that can be put into the cannabis industry, made from the cannabis industry. It's endless. And that's one thing that I always say. It's a principle that I've, you know, kind of come around the past couple of years or so. But cannabis is really endless, like in the way that you grow it, in the way that you experience it, consume it, and the way that it can affect you, and the way that it expresses its genetics. And it can also be endless in the way that you find your lane in it. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you're somebody that's in real estate. You sell apartments all day. All right, well, there's absolutely going to be people that are looking for cannabis-friendly apartments or retail spaces, consumption lounges, what have you. You know what I mean? Community grow opportunities, you know? And then from there, you know, you got to do a little bit more working on the legislature with whatever state you're in. But, you know, it really can be endless. It can be anything that we choose to make it. And I just see so much potential, like, from the plant, for the industry, for the world. Like, it's really, it's, you know, as a whole been diminished for how helpful it truly can be. Like, we don't even have clinical studies to back up pretty much anything that's on the market right now. We're all just doing trial and error testing and figuring out what works and then sharing that knowledge with others.
For sure. What can people, what do people get out of your homegirl classes? Like, can you give us a little summary preview of what people would get if they took one of your courses?
Yeah. Absolutely everything that you need to know to get from seed to smoke. That's what we talk about, from germinating to transplanting, nutrients, what goes into a grow tent. There's a comprehensive shopping list. We talk about seed selection, how to pick from a seed bank, picking the right genetics for your space, for your home, pretty much whatever you want to do. I specifically teach in indoor home growing because that's what I've had my experience in over the past year. But again, you can really do a lot with that. And yeah, what people are able to take away from most importantly is that anybody is able to do it. I teach my class in the same way that I deliver my content, in that it is easy to digest. And additionally, I really take the time to make sure that I answer absolutely everybody's questions so that nobody leaves feeling like this is not something that they can do. You know what I mean? Because one thing that I found, you know, in talking to a lot of people, and that I really was feeling myself, is that even being a medical card holder, you know, actually starting the grow process seems really intimidating. You know what I mean? Going from this is my house, this is my space. Now I have to dedicate some space to a tent. How much space do I have for that? And then not only do I have to get the tent, I have to get pots. I got to get soil. I got to get
soil, lights.
You know what I mean? And it can definitely be intimidating, but when, you know, you get your base blocks and what you need to sustain life, and you have the knowledge, the understanding principles of what you need, you have a skill that's going to last you lifelong. And then from there, you can go on to, you know, change up what you're doing. You can grow in, you know, different styles if you want, deep water, aeroponics, outdoor. But yeah, ultimately, the more that you spend with the plant, the more experience that you're going to have with it, the more that you're going to understand it, the better flowers you're going to grow, the more harvest that you're going to have. And the homegrown cannabis is just like unlike anything, better feeling than smoking your own.
I bet. I wish my homegrown weed would look like yours. Y'all go on his Instagram page, because your homegrown buds look gorgeous. I'm so jealous. I'm like,
Thank you so much.
I could grow like this.
Man,
anybody can, as you do it.
That's right. You know, like, really, I think the biggest example of that was I think that anybody can grow, and genetics also play a very big part. You know what I mean? If you understand your genetics and you don't just have like a random seed, then you're going to go a lot farther. You know what I mean? Because you understand what the plant needs and how to take care of it and how to set it up best for success. But when I first grew, you know what I'm saying, I had some lemon kush from Humboldt Seeds, and without really knowing anything about pHing my water or really, you know, giving nutrients to my soil or my plant outside of, like, you know, a couple compost teas, I was just kind of winging it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To the point where, like, I got, my bud was burned on the top because I let it grow too tall and it hit the light, you know what I mean? I ran out of space. But I learned how to tie it down, and I know next time, okay, I'm not going to let the plant get that tall and veg, so I have the space to do that. Or I'm going to train the plant so I can do it this way, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I was kind of growing as I was, like, kind of just guessing for my I was just like, I'm just going to watch the plant. I'm just going to listen to the plant. I'm just going to tell you, I'm just going to see what it needs. And I was like, okay, maybe I should go on Jungle K's page. Maybe go check out some other people and see what they're said. And I did completely end up, like, killing my clones because I left them for maybe like 2 days, but it was too hot, right? Like, you can't even leave your plants. They're like kids. Like, you can't even leave them home by themselves without somebody watching them.
Or they might die. Yeah, especially when they're young like that. But I mean, once you really figure out setting up your climate zone, that's really what's going to be the best. Because maybe, you know, you can't leave a clone in an 80 degree room without any water for a couple of days. It's definitely not gonna, you know.
Yeah, I did that. It was dead.
You know, but if, you know, maybe let's say we have those same clones or any kind of plant and town for a week, how are we gonna make sure that everything in the tent stays where it needs to be? Maybe we have a humidifier with some kind of sensor to turn on and off when it hits a certain range. You know, you might be paying a little bit more for that, but that's the convenience that you have, you know, from that. Let's say you have a automatic drip watering system that you have in place. So instead of, you know, you having to plant water the plants on your regular schedule, you now have a consistent feed of water set up at how over, you know, whatever time interval you want, and you know that it's going to be taken care of because they're drinking straight out of the reservoir. You can go about your day, do whatever you need to, and, you know, the tent is secure because with all these things in place, it's acting as its own environment, and it's going to behave how it has because you've set it up for success in the way that it needs to, you know?
Yes, definitely don't do what I did. And go to Las Vegas and leave your plants in the hot room for 2 days. They will die. Other than cannabis, you're also, like, just a general lover of plants and botany, and you like taking your plants for a walk, which I really enjoy.
Yeah.
How did you kind of come into this being, like, you know, a plant person? You seem to really have this great relationship with plants and nature, and seems to also really help you with your connection with cannabis as well.
Yeah, thanks so much. I got into plants, I think, in 2019. Like, I didn't have any plants in my apartment whatsoever. Like, none. It was empty. And it's so funny because I can't imagine, you know, even being in a space like that anymore. But I just got one. I was at IKEA. I was just winging it. And I was like, all right, let's just get a plant. See if I can keep it alive. We'll go from there. And then I got it and I was just so fascinated by watching this plant grow and watering it and seeing the change that it has. I was like, oh my, like, this is an org, like, this is a thing. This is an organism right here. Like, this is a living, growing.
Are you someone like me who's like, oh my God, the leaf is uncurling. Look, the leaf is opening. Like,
oh, absolutely.
That freaks me out. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Oh, you said it freaks you out?
Oh, like in a good way. Like, oh, yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah.
No, absolutely. Like, I definitely am watching over my plants daily and just in investigating the change, because that's all that it is. Like, it's the beauty of the process of growing. It's just so incredible. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, plants that just have these endless expressions of foliage, you know what I mean? Whether it's spots or stripes or even variants in color, you know what I mean? Like, how did you make this line? Like, how did you know where to grow? Like, how are you pink?
Do you talk to your plants?
Yeah, I'm talking to my plant right now.
Oh, good. That's how you help them grow. You gotta talk to them. You gotta name them. How many plants do you have now, you think?
Ooh, that's a good question. Definitely not as many as I would like. Just because I lost a couple over the winter. I lost a couple in my move, and I just haven't been at a place to stock up on them like I want. But probably I would say definitely 20-ish.
That's a lot of plant children. That's a lot of plants to look after.
It's a lot, definitely. It just feels like so little coming from, like, you know, I think I peaked out at like 80 or 90 or something like that.
And I'm just like imagining these pictures that you have of like all these plants around you. I'm like, oh my gosh, I would love to have a place that's just surrounded in plants. Like just waking up and getting all that fresh oxygen.
Yeah,
it's wonderful.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. The pictures can be tricky sometimes, you know what I mean?
Because you don't want to like burn the plant or like irritate it or move it too much.
Well, definitely irritate it. It was this one time. It was actually I shot some footage for a Facebook commercial from my home, right? I was interacting with my plants. And in setting up, you know, all my different plants around me, like, you know, you got to have the plants on the floor. You got to have the hanging plants. You got to have the plants in the foreground that cover the camera a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. In setting all those up, I think I was hanging up like one of the last plants or adjusting something. I didn't have a ladder, fell off the chair that I was working on directly onto like my fat ass Monstera.
Oh no.
Yeah. And I thought it was done. You know what I mean? But it didn't look like anything happened to it.
It made it. It was okay.
It was crazy because I fell with my full body force like on this plant, like from, you know, a chair. It was just astounding. I think it I might have so lost strong. Like one leaf. Yeah, and it's definitely my biggest plant now. It's probably literally almost bigger than me at this point. Which is awesome.
How awesome. What have been some of your favorite strains or just some of your favorite plants in general to grow or watch grow?
I love that Lemon Kush. Yeah, that very first harvest that I grew. I also had some Cake Boss from my homie, the Nugscaper. Shout out the Nugscaper. That was just so frosty, and it just like looked like it was covered in trichomes, and it was just so gorgeous. You didn't even have to put flash on it to really tell. But the people that I gave samples of that to really enjoyed that. What else? I mean, I really like, as far as my house plants, I love trailing plants in general, just watching trailing and vining plants grow. And I'm kind of impatient, so I like plants that kind of grow a little bit faster. But I also love things like, I'm starting to get into cacti. I don't really know that much about them.
I'm a fan of cacti. Aloe cacti.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Aloe, I'm a fan of. I'm learning about cacti now. I got a lot of homies that are like super into them. But
blooming cacti. I just like a cactus with a flower because like I like the juxtaposition. It's like pretty but pokey.
Exactly, exactly. I like alocasias a lot. I like different bacchias a lot. Excuse me. ZZ plants are a favorite for me as well. And snake plants, like you know, snake obviously plants. Everybody. Yeah, no, everybody talks about snake plants, grape gator plant, very good, but that's a goddamn good plant. I'll tell you that much. I love a good snake plant. It's just so cool. And so
and it looks good in pictures.
Yeah, they look great in pictures, and they're so easy to propagate, too.
I love that. I'm trying to find the names of the plants that I have. I can't even see the name on them. I have two in here, and one is like a vine one, but it's kind of dying. I think it's like dried out. And I have another one that's like, let me see if I can find the name. Because I want to know plant stuff too and be cool. I'm trying to be like, oh, I don't even know how to say this name. Girl, I don't know how to say that. But it's in here. I'm going to get more plants eventually and add to my collection. I would love a big Monstera plant. Like, that's the goal. But
yeah,
those take a lot of time and effort. And love.
Believe it or not, just get a small one. Like if you're not ready to make the big
wait for it to get big.
Yeah, yeah. No, like mine grew really big, like fairly quickly. And I mean, what big is to you is going to be different when you're watching it grow from a smaller plant. And I always thought, I was like, man, I'm just getting big plants. And I mean, yeah, like big plants are great for, you know, the optics and the visuals and whatever. But when you're talking about actually like living with something and watching it grow, watching a baby plant turn into a big plant is just,
it's like watching a kid.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like you have history with it and stories with it and memories with it, like literally, like It's very wild. It's very wild. And it's a testament of time, if you will, because, you know, you can, you know, look back at pictures and be like, oh man, this plant was that big. And, oh, I remember I was, you know, at this place doing these things, worried about this stuff with these people, you know what I mean? And now things are different.
I like that. So what advice do you have for someone who wants to start growing their own, or even if it's not cannabis, just wants to like start growing plants in general? Maybe they're also interested in growing cannabis and can't do it now, or like maybe don't have the money, or they maybe have a little bit. Like, what advice would you give them in terms of just starting?
Yeah, for houseplants, I would definitely say just pick up a plant, bring it home, start learning about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And learning about it, definitely take a little bit from everybody. You know what I mean? Because when I was first doing my plant research and my cannabis research, it seemed like, you know, everybody claimed that they were doing the exact right thing while also contradicting each other. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's going to be some trial and error. You're going to kill some plants.
You will kill some plants.
Yeah, it's gonna be okay. Plants die so we can buy some more. That's the moral. There.
That's the motto.
As far as cannabis, if you're legally in a state where you can't grow and you don't feel comfortable taking that risk, just start, you know, upping your education by all means. I have a couple of people who have taken my classes that states that are just getting the education ready.
They just want the knowledge. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean, because it's a whole different thing from you being like, well, I think I want to grow some cannabis. I don't really know I need to get started versus, okay, well, I know that I want this tent on Amazon. I want to do this light. I might get these seeds. And even the reasoning why, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, yeah, growing your own weed sounds great to a stoner, you know, because you're going to have more weed. But additionally, once you figure out, oh, you can have, you know, whatever kind of terpenes and cannabinoid content you want based on the seeds that you pick out, oh, I can completely customize my cannabis experience entirely. Great. How? You know? And just getting excited about that is the best place to start, and figuring out, you know, what you like, you know?
Yeah. And also recognizing, like, it's a lot of work. Like you said, like, in hindsight, being stoners, we're like, yeah, of course we can just grow our own weed. Like, how many people do we know who tried to like just grow some weed in the closet and kind of successfully did it, but once it got to the drying process, it was like not good.
Yep.
So you have to realize, like, okay, it's an investment in time as well.
Yeah, no, you just got to understand the separate processes, you know what I mean? I definitely have had people who are like, oh yeah, I harvested it before, but I never knew anything about curing or you know, how long to dry or what conditions are good to dry
it in. Doesn't just grow and then you smoke it. It doesn't work like that, by the way.
Yeah, no, it's definitely an intentional process, and also one that you got to understand, like, what's going on. Because if you, you know, have reference that, okay, in this stage of life the humidity needs to be around this point, then you're not going to be wondering why your plant looks like this, you know, at this stage in its life, because you have this thing taken care of. And the more boxes that you can check off to ensure that the plant is getting what it needs when it needs it, the better off chances you're going to have of having a healthy plant.
For sure, because I don't think I checked those boxes. I didn't put it in a special, I just got like a dollar store jar, you know, and put some soil in it. Like, you really have to like do your research. And if you want a healthy plant to grow, an actual smokable flower, you have to put the right nutrients in it and take home grow classes by Jungle K as well. That's probably really helpful.
Yeah, no. I mean, I've always thought that this was the best way to give the knowledge that I've gained to other people. I just want to help people grow, because I've always thought, like, man, how cool would it be if, you know, it was just common for your, like, a community or your neighborhood or whatever, for everybody to be growing their own medicine to some degree. And there's, like, you know, a trading and bartering system where everybody's, you know, getting seeds or clones or whatever, you know? Not only does everybody have their own cannabis, but naturally the prices of cannabis goes down. And then we aren't even thinking about prices, because if we know how to grow,
you save
much amount,
and we,
you know, and obviously you're not going to be pulling pounds from your first harvest, and but at the same time, anything is better than nothing. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. continuing to improve on your experience is what learning how to grow is all about.
Absolutely. So one more advice question. This is another question that I ask every guest. Also, love it because the takeaway that I feel like a lot of people get from the show is they just feel like they can do it too. And they might feel like, you know, I don't have the resources to be in the industry, or I don't live in a legal state, or I live in a medical state, but it's kind of like really restrictive. What advice do you have for women and men of color that are interested in getting into the cannabis industry or growing their own and just don't know where to start?
Yeah, I would say definitely if you're looking at getting into the industry, figure out, I mean, really what you want to do. Like, mm-hmm. you already have skills naturally. You probably already have a job. What job are you doing? Like, and can it be done like with cannabis incorporated in it? If you're somebody in tech, what app can I design? What software can I design? What programs do dispensaries run, or do brands need to run? Or, you know, maybe you're just helping on e-commerce. Maybe you're a marketing person. Maybe you're a manager. Maybe you are a cashier. Maybe, you know, there's just an endless amount of ways that you can get into it once you just open your mind to the possibilities of it.
Absolutely. There's no sort of kind of thing you can't do with cannabis at this point. Like, you are doing budtending, and that is something that you can easily slide your foot into the cannabis industry into. Like, if you need to get some education, budtending is a great start. But then you were able to create your own thing and have been thriving ever since. And I really love to see Black men in cannabis be, number one, unproblematic, and number two, be encouraging of other people of color to get in cannabis as well. So thank you so much for the work you're doing. I really do appreciate it, because we all need to learn how to grow our own out here, especially people of color, because one day, you know, we might have to. We might have to get our own land. Mm-hmm. And just start growing our own weed, or, you know, we're gonna have these opportunities in cannabis, and they'll be like, hey, do you know how to grow? And if you have that skill, you can start creating wealth in the industry and do it on your own terms.
Exactly. I was gonna say, like, the time has come. Like, if you're in a place to do so, figure out how to do so. If you're in a place at all to figure out how to give education to other people, by all means, go for it. I used to tell my homies, and I still tell people all the time, there are going to be more new cannabis users than there will ever be OG stoners, mm-hmm. potheads, whatever you want to call them, just by the nature of how life works. You know,
for sure.
There's going to be far more people that we have to educate on, you know, why cannabis is beneficial, you know what I'm saying, or even how to properly use cannabis, you know what I mean, then we have to do of, you know, the people that are convinced to use cannabis don't need convincing.
Yeah. They already are smoking it. We've been smoking it, you know, it's everybody else.
Yeah. And, you know, to a certain degree, they, you know, everybody builds their own knowledge bases, and not everybody wants to take that extra step further. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of people out here that are looking for information and accurate information, and, you know, just figure out what that is. And
yeah.
Spread that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you so much again, man, for being the second male guest on the show. It was such a treat.
Thank you so much for having me.
You got good energy online, so I knew you were going to have good energy. I always say no problematic men, but you clearly, you know, are respectful of people and plants, so you're always welcome here.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, Ayana.
Of course. Well, now is the time. Please let people know where they can find you, where they can tap in at, plug in, you know, any sort of new things coming up, your courses, all of that. Let them know.
Yes, indeed. Well, first and foremost, you can follow me on, you know, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube at Jungle K. That's Jungle CAE. I'm also on junglek.com. That's where you can find information about home grow classes, merchandise, where you can find me next. I'm going to be at CannaFest here in Chicago, April 9th. I believe I'm doing a show on the 10th. But outside of that, you can look for, you know, more cannabis content, more classwork coming. Really just a whole lot more fun. That's all I'm focused on, just having as much fun as possible.
I love it. Are you still doing a collaboration with Ranchera Familia and their seeds? I saw you were doing something with them and you were providing some of their seeds or something?
Yeah, absolutely. So when you sign up for the homegrow class, you have the option to get some of Ranchera Familia's genetics.
Who has been a guest on the show as well. Shout out to Sue.
Oh, yeah. Love Sue. Love Sue. She's amazing. And that's a really nice option for people that don't live in THC legal states, because CBD is an option for you. And, you know, think about how nice it would be to get a little practice around him before you're able to grow the real thing.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, thanks so much again, man. I really appreciate it. Thank you guys for listening. No new announcements this week. You can find all of my information and all of Kay's information in the episode description, as well as on my Instagram at the Marijuana Ayana, IYANA. And as always, if you or someone you know has a Black or Brown owned, women owned, minority owned cannabis brand, cannabis business, anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world, and you want to be featured on this show, you can DM me on my Instagram or email me as well. Also my Instagram. Thanks everybody for listening again. Stay high and stay healthy. Peace out.
Yeah, thanks for having me.